A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire, the Albigensian Crusade, Part 1. Now, I'm sure the last few times when we've been talking about all the different religious groups in the Catholic Church that the Innocent III was trying to deal with was pretty strange to you. Some of those were quite hard to find information on. I was very fortunate that my father-in-law of my first wife was a Baptist theologian teaching at one of the seminaries, and he was fascinated with heresy, so when he died, I took over all of his heretical books. So I had quite an assimilation of that information. And then as a scholar of the Hundred Years' War, and had courses in it, I was familiar with parts of it. And also, having been to Carcassonne twice, and get that Carthar background. So I had a lot of information. So hopefully this will make some sense to you. It is usually something very difficult to find any information about. Now, the beginning of the Albigensian Crusade. It had been nearly 200 years since the emperor, Holy Roman Emperor, and the papacy began officially executing heretics. But the persecutions throughout these times were still relatively few and actually had no major impact on the spread of the dissident sects. Innocent III aimed to change all that. He made the extermination of heresy one of his primary goals. For Innocent, a heretic was worse than a Muslim, since Muslim did not profess to be Christian. Southern France, and particularly the county of Toulouse, in the region known as Languedoc, had become inundated with dissident sects. Since Innocent III had first taken office, he had written repeatedly to the Count of Toulouse, Raymond VI, asking him to take measures to stamp out these heretics. Very first year, in 1198, he had sent a papal legate to persuade Raymond to crush the heretics, but Raymond repeatedly refused to slay his own people. In 1203, Innocent decided to try a new legate. Peter of Castelnau was chosen to convince the stubborn count of his duties, and Peter was not unwilling, as papal legate, to use all the powers at his disposal. In 1205, Innocent had even began sending legates and letters to Philip Augustus, urging him to take action against heretics and against Raymond, if Raymond would not obey. Philip, however, was still at war with King John of England over Aquitaine's possessions. He had no desire to waste his time, resources, and troops performing tasks for the Pope, who he had no great affection for. Raymond heard of this and realized he was fast becoming a target of the Pope, so he quickly promised to eradicate the heretics, a promise he, of course, had no intentions of keeping. After 2 years, Raymond had done nothing to execute the dissidents, and allegations began to creep up that Raymond was actually a heretic himself, owing to what is known of Raymond that is unlikely. More than likely, Raymond merely saw the folly of brutalizing his own peasants over religious disputes. He was not prone to fighting in the first place, and it is said what few battles he had previously taken place in, he had failed to even draw his sword. Raymond was simply buying time. Peter appeared to Raymond and leveled many charges against him, including one charge that he had appointed Jews to public office. Of this last charge, a brief aside is needed. The Jews had once been welcomed by Charlemagne, but times had drastically changed. As education of the masses dwindled, and the nobility and the clergy came to seize all the lands in their own names, there were few commoners with the education to perform the tasks of banking and other essential functions. Jews, however, had never lost their desire to educate their children. Most were homeschooled or taught in synagogues. As a result, by the 12th century, most of the lenders and bankers were Jews, since they were the only ones educated enough to perform those duties. Christian commoners were simply not educated enough to perform the tasks anymore. With interest rates ranging from 20% to as much as 80% in some places, the people of Europe began to mistrust and blame the Jews for their problems, calling them money-grubbing deceivers. Anathemas and cries of Christ killers became common, showing ignorance of the Bible as well as anti-Semitism. Moreover, like the Cathari, many Jews had taken up mystic views as expressed in the Kabbalistic magic, which also flourished at the same area. Indeed, the very legend of the golem may have come from this land. Jews, therefore, considered little better than heretics from the papacy, was determined to extinguish. Raymond was threatened with interdiction and excommunication if he did not make good on his promise to exterminate the heretics. And if you remember, interdict means your whole kingdom is put under excommunication. Moreover, Innocent was already making preparations for a crusade, one that could be leveled against heretics or against Raymond himself. Peter met with Raymond one last time, and words were exchanged. Raymond then is alleged to have flown into a rage and threatened the legate, who had a bodyguard with him. Peter left Raymond on January the 14th, 1208, never to see the count again, for a lance was driven into his back while he was on the road by an assailant identified as one of Raymond's servants. The assassination would give Innocent exactly what he needed to foster the crusade. Previously, most dukes and nobles seemed less than enthused with the idea of a crusade against their own countrymen, but the murderer of a papal legate fed the fire to the flame. Innocent promised that the land taken by the crusaders would be theirs. He offered indulgences to all who would take up the cross. Salvation, it seemed, was the Pope's to offer. The crusade was now taking shape, but it was stalled by the King of France, Philip Augustus, who refused to participate. He pointed out that Raymond had neither been convicted of heresy nor the murder of Peter of Castelnau. Philip was still at war with John, and he feared that Emperor Otto IV, John's nephew, was entering an alliance against him. He would not participate in the crusade, nor would he spare any of his men to participate. Raymond, realizing his precarious predicament, tried to rally forces for himself, but couldn't find support. Even the Viscount of Béziers, his nephew, Raymond Roger, had refused to cooperate. Raymond had even appealed to Philip Augustus, but Philip was as cold to him as he was to the Pope. Finally, Raymond tried to plead with the new papal legate, Arnold Amory, but the legate wanted blood, not repentance. The last-ditch effort of Raymond was to appeal directly to the Pope himself. He promised virtually anything that the Pope would ask and requested a new papal legate. Innocent III had already excommunicated Raymond and placed an interdict upon his people. He finally had Raymond where he wanted him, but he was still not about to abandon the crusade at this point. He sent a new legate with specific orders to be Arnold Amory's mouthpiece. He was told, quote, "The Count suspects him, but not you," end of quote. Moreover, the Pope told him to use cunning and deception as weapons. Raymond was forced to cede 7 castles and a county to the papacy, to be flogged half-naked in the church, to renounce his love for heretics and Jews, but he was also forced to fight at the head of the armies of the crusade. He even surrendered his own son as a hostage to ensure his loyalty. He joined the crusade army soon afterwards. Arnold Amory, the papal legate, was himself the leader of the army, which is alleged to have boasted 40,000 men, by some accounts as many as 220,000 men. When his soldiers asked how they would recognize Catholics versus the heretics, he replied with the now famous line, quote, "Kill them all, God will recognize his own," end of quote. Upon hearing of Raymond's humiliation and the approach of the armies, Raymond Roger, who had earlier refused to help Raymond VI, now realized, perhaps for the first time, that the army was coming after him. He too had many dissidents and Jews in his cities, and many of his men were known to be converts to the dissidents. He therefore, in a terrible fright, rode out to meet Arnold Amory and offer to make the same concessions as Raymond VI had. But the legate wanted blood. It was too late to send the armies home, and no spoils. Raymond Roger was refused the right to repent. Listen to that again. Refused the right to repent. The papacy, which had taken the power to forgive sins from God, now refused to forgive one of its princes. He was simply sent back to await his fate. In part two, we will do the fighting, although most of it is besieging castles and then slaughtering Cathars. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.